Love is patient.
Love is kind.
It does not envy.
It does not boast.
It is not proud.
It does not dishonor others.
It is not self-seeking.
It is not easily angered.
It keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not delight in evil,
but rejoices in the truth.
It always protects,
always trusts,
always hopes,
always perseveres.
Love never fails.
And did you realize that's why we're here today? We were really brought to this place today. I bet a lot of you thought, hey, I'm going to go to church. But really what happens, why are we at church? Why in the world would we pause at the first day of the week and say, I want to start that first day of the week? Y'all realize this is the first day of the week, don't you? Yes. Monday is not the first day of the week. And I'm just helping you. If Monday is your first day of the week, change. I have found it to be better to make Sunday the first day of the week, and then Monday becomes more tolerable. It should say this. Monday usually is the first day for most of us to start our work week. But really, I would say go ahead and start your work week on Sunday and let the worship of God pour over into Monday. But here's what I want you to know. The key, the driver, the heart, the intention, the purpose, the reality, the beginning, and the end, Benton, everything that there is Jesus' love for us. And we got to get that picture of God. That God loves us, and he reveals to us his love. How many of y'all remember Colossians? If you don't remember Colossians, I'm going to preach it again all fall. Okay, from February till we got to Mommy's Day, man, we've been in Colossians. Remember that Colossians passage. Jesus is revealed. He comes to us from heaven to make the invisible of God what? Visible. Good, you got it. Now watch this. What makes things visible? The love of God. The love of God. The who? The what? The love of who? God. How many of y'all glad to know that God Almighty, the one that has made us and created us, loves us? Now let me help you with this love. Love that comes from heaven. Love that comes from heaven is defined in the Word of God so we can understand love. Now, today, love has been miscued in definition by this world. Would you agree with me? I saw some signs this week in the world that were talking about how people were unloving if you didn't agree exactly with them. Does that have anything to do with love? Y'all talk to me. Talk back to me now. We got to deal with these issues. I know you don't like to talk about them. You get uncomfortable about them in church. But listen, I didn't make this world and you didn't make this world, but this is the world we live in. Now, here's the good news I have. The love of God is stronger than the world we live in. How many of you ought to go, thank you, Lord. The love of God, the power of God, and the reality of God is stronger than what I have to see on Fox and MSNBC and ABC and the nightly news and Sesame Street. The love of God. God is better than Big Bird. What do y'all think? You know, and watch this. We got to understand some things. You never know what's going to happen in your life. This week I had to fly. I do not like flying. Flying to me challenges my ability to bring forth the invisible nature of God to the visible. In fact, when I fly, I am more challenged to not be like I've been saved. Because I don't like being x-rayed. I don't like taking my clothes off. I just don't like all stuff you got to go through, you know? And I have weird thoughts at the airport. Like when I take my shoes off and throw them in that bin, I think about all the millions of feet that have been in that bin. See, and it grosses me out. I have bad thoughts. Well, I finally get on the airplane and we go through that pretty good flight. And then I'm flying out of Charlotte, North Carolina to Wilmington. And I'm speaking very pleasurable to this woman. And she's a middle-aged woman. And she deals with children with disabilities. And we're having a great time and in a conversation going back and forth. And she asked me about my kids. And I asked her about my kids. And she goes, well, my partner and I have a six-year-old. You know what I did? I just keep on talking. Because I can do that well. I just keep on talking. And finally she looked at me and she goes, you know, I detect that you might be a minister. I said, what clues you in? Love of Jesus or something? Okay. Watch. I just want to show you something. I was unwilling to have that political discussion. 5 more minutes later, she said, I've never met a Christian that doesn't go crazy. And I said, well, let me help you. Here's what I absolutely believe, and I'm absolutely right. God is the judge, and we all have to face the judge. I said, I have one desire, that you would meet the Lord Jesus Christ and your sin be forgiven, because my sin had to be forgiven. And I said, but the only thing that changes any of us is Jesus, and that's how I live. And she goes, I can live with that. I said, I believe in Jesus, and nobody's going to shake me from Jesus. My job is not to protest, nor is it to give permission. But it is to love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and what? Body. Been an interesting world this week, hasn't it? We live in America, and we can turn a chicken sandwich and waffle fries into a political issue. Kevin, we've lost our everlasting minds. Watch this. What did people think Dan Cathy was going to say? Here's what I love about Brother Dan. He's a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes the Word of God as the Word of God is written, is true. He loves God with all his heart, mind, soul, and body. He follows the Bible a lot better than a lot of people that say they follow the Bible, because guess what? That brother's been closed on Sunday. He won't even work on Sunday. And he had some expert business people told him that he'd never make it. George, they said he'd never make it. He couldn't make enough money. He said his company would collapse. It would never happen. He said, I'm going to be closed on Sunday, sir. They do better than anybody else. Have y'all noticed when you go to Chick-fil-A, a lot of times their employees are a lot nicer than at other restaurants? You know why that is? They're rested. Oh, I'm serious. You see, God tells us things because he loves us. Make sense? And so I'm going to challenge us as a church, because John 13:34 says this. Jesus says to his disciples, and that would be you and I and everybody else that follows Jesus. He says, I got to give you a new command. A new command I give you, says the Lord. A new command, not an old command, but a what? A new command. It's kind of like the old command, but with me in it now. He says, now, love them as I have loved you. Now, we got to start realizing what this love of God is. Because let me tell you what love does not do. Love does not permit what you want. And here's where we've skewed love up. I mean, if my child came to me and said, Daddy, 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 I really want to drink arsenic. I feel like drinking arsenic is a good idea. In fact, I'm hanging out with other arsenic drinkers, and we have started an arsenic movement. And I'm a part of the arsenic movement, and I would like to start drinking arsenic. Cousins, what am I going to tell that boy? No! I'm going to say, no, you're not going to drink arsenic. Why? And you're going to go, well, you don't love me, because if you really understood love and what love was about, you would let me have the freedom to be an arsenic drinker. Now, hold on. When I say it like that, it sounds what? Ridiculous. But you see, sin is poison. And if we allow sin into our lives, then what? Guess what we're really going to lose sight of? The love of God. Now, this August, I don't know what we're going to do next August, but I know this August, if we get 4 Sundays this August, I know right now we're going to get 1. We're in it. Okay? We're going to talk about the power of love, the response of love, and the capability of God's love in our lives. So we start with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, and we're going to look at the ingredients of what love does. Love does. It does some things. Now, husbands, I want you to wake up. This is the way you ought to love your wife. Wives, I want you all to wake up. This is the way you ought to love your what? Husbands. Now, here's my deal. If you got husbands and wives loving each other, what does that do to kids? Well, they get to live in a loving environment. I tell parents all the time, the best thing you can do for your children is have a great marriage. They don't need another toy. They don't need another video game. They need to see what a loving husband looks like and a loving wife looks like, and that automatically creates a loving mom and dad. Love.
Love one another as Christ has loved you. Now, love's got to become real somewhere down the line. This is a serious threat. If I tell somebody what I believe, and if that's what I believe, and it lines up with the Word of God, and then you're telling me you're filled with hate, you're telling me your definition of love. Your definition of love is, I can do whatever I want, and if you disagree with me, then you're an unloving being. Well, who created that definition? Come on, y'all talk to me a little bit today. Satan, but who did he create it through? It's human. That's a human understanding. But watch this now. Listen, and if I offend you, you just have to be offended. It is an adolescent understanding. It's a very adolescent mentality, okay? These people aren't intellectuals. They are small brain, not big brain. Now, you know this if you've raised kids. When kids hit that adolescent stage, what do they want from you as parents? To do what? What they want to do. That's the way I was when I was an adolescent. How many of y'all were like that when you were an adolescent? Well, Dad, how dare you get on me for racing cars? I ought to have the right to race cars. Racing cars ought to be a good thing as long as I don't get caught. But then what happened, brother? If I got caught and got a ticket, I wanted him to pay the bill. Now, see, this is kind of the way we are. We've created a culture where we want to do whatever we want to do, but when the consequences come rolling in, we want everybody else to pay for the reality. So, young people, I want y'all to know the truth here, okay? The truth is, the consequences are always deadly if they're sinful. They kill. They're not a bad thing. They don't scar. They kill. They take things away. And God wants to give things to you so you might experience eternal love of God. And he wants us to experience this. Now, check this out. If you tell your wife, husbands, if you do this, I just know better from a husband's perspective. Now, part of us is we are to make the invisible realities of God what? Visible. We do that in marriage. Husbands, what's one thing your wife likes to hear from you every once in a while? Lanny, what's one thing Gio likes to hear from you every once in a while? Just a simple phrase. I love you. Kevin, do you do that every once in a while? Not enough. Okay, now, yeah, you're being honest with me, brother. Andy, what about you? You've been married a long time now. Not enough. I mean, you just kind of run through the house. How many of y'all are married to a husband like that? If Elizabeth was here today, she'd go. But it just amazes me with wives, because you look at your wife and go, I love you, honey. And they go, oh, thank you. You know, I figure she told me she loved me at the altar, and if she changed her mind, she'd let me know. But hold on. That's not the way it works with a wife. A wife needs to be reminded of the invisible. Okay, that's pretty good, right, wives? I mean, that's okay, right? I mean, that's good. I call it first level. Hold on, though. What if you have one of these days where your husband just goes absolutely crazy? He goes insane. He really does go insane for a moment. He cleans up the whole house. It's spotless. He does the laundry, folds it, and puts it up in proper order. Now, when you come home from work or wherever you've been, doing whatever God's called you to do, and you open the door and you walk in, Cynthia, to a spotless home where Earl has been Mr. Clean for a day. Looks like he got Stanley Steamer in there and fixed the house, okay? All the under drawers are exactly where they're supposed to be. Everything hung in proper order. What happens to you? Oh, poor Earl. Earl, I set you up on the rim, and she slammed you, brother. Okay, so we'll have to go hypothetical. If it happened, Cynthia, what do you think might happen?
Oh, honey, I love you.
Before you leave the planet, there's something you can do that you haven't done yet, Earl. Okay, Teresa, if Scott had done that, snuck home from work, got all that done, is that a little more overwhelming than even what he says? Because it's the invisible made visible. I never knew what cleaning a house would do. Throw them romantic books away, husbands. Forget the roses. Clean the countertop. They go crazy. You want romance? You want romance? It starts with a mop in your hand.
Because what is it? Look at all the ladies. They're going, oh my God, he gets it. Got that, Adam? You ever had that happen yet? Oh, you got one up on Earl. He's been married since Noah, and he ain't cleaned the house yet. See, these young guys caught on. But really what it is has nothing to do with a clean house. It has to do with visible what? Love. Well, who is Jesus Christ? Visible love to us, and he's a covenant. Now, love, let's see what it does. 1 Corinthians. It does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. Love demands what? Truth. So when the world asks me a question, I got to tell them the truth. And let me tell you what, they go crazy about God's truth. That's what happened with Chick-fil-A. I mean, what is Dan Cathy going to say? He closes on Sunday. After he makes his statement about marriage, the world go crazy. Because they think love is, I can do what I want to. And love is, I'm called to do what God made me to do. I'm created in God's order, and I got to follow God's order. God's order is male, female. That's God's order. And you say, well, I don't like that. Well, I understand that because you like your order. But I'm asking God's order. I'm not asking what you want because I really don't care what you want because you're going to be dead in 80 years. I really don't care what the world says because the world can't resurrect. I really don't care what Bill Maher says because he'll die one day. And 3 days later, he'll have this great testimony. I'm still dead. You see, I like Jesus because 3 days after death, he goes, I'm not dead. So I want to listen to something that keeps screaming, I'm not dead. I'm not dead. I said, I like you, God. They can't kill you. How many of y'all glad to follow a God that won't die? Now, hold on. Connect with me here logically. I'm going fast today. If we follow a God that won't die, that means inside of us, put into us by the grace of God, is a love that will not fade away. We'll talk about that later in August. But it protects. Now, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 20, and I'm going to show you how far love will go to protect. Any of y'all ever been in a situation where you had what your family wanted, but what they wanted wasn't God's way? Any of y'all have been in one of those situations? If you're in a marriage relationship, it's really tough because, you know, the only problem I see about marriage is you get in-laws. Now, here's what I do. I'm just giving you a heads up. If it's on Elizabeth's side of the family, that's their business. I don't get in. That's their business. That's their business. Elizabeth looked at me and she said, what do you think? I go, I'm from the line of heirs. This ain't heirs' business. That's all your brothers and sisters. It's none of my business. Because you know what I learned a long time ago? Remember the old saying? Blood is thicker than what? Water. And that is true. But guess what? The blood is thicker than blood. Yes, sir. Blood is thicker than water. The blood of Christ is the thickest blood of all. And sometimes you got to follow that love because it protects God's way. Isn't that neat? So part of God's love is protective. If you're a parent, you know this. What do you do with your children? What do you do with your children? There's one thing you don't want to mess with ever. If you ever coach sports, if you ever coach any little league or peewee sports, never mess with the mother of a disgruntled child. Go see the father. Because you can talk to the father and say, hey, man, I couldn't play him. The father go, I know, he stinks, doesn't he? Yeah, he does. But you know, see, a father got reason. A mama, that's my baby. He ought to be playing. I'm going to tell you something, coach. You the dumbest man they ever allowed coach. Well, ma'am, your child can't run. It ain't about running. It's about him playing. Well, he can't catch the ball. Well, I don't care if he can't catch. He my son. Now, why is that mama upset? Because her baby is hurting, and she wants to what? Protect him. And that's really changed in today's times, because I remember when I was a kid, they used to cut you in Little League. In Little League, you had to try out, and you had to get cut. You didn't get a trophy back when I was coming along. You got cut.
But when I was 9 years old, I couldn't jump rope or dental floss my teeth. I was uncoordinated as I could be, coordinated as I could be. And so I went out there, and Clark, I tried out for baseball. I had some problems. I couldn't hit the ball. They like that in baseball. I had another problem. Couldn't catch the ball. I had another problem. I didn't run real fast because my feet were real big. My legs were real skinny. And from I'd trip over my feet. And they saw these three things during tryouts. But I looked good, man. I had me a little uniform. I had me a baseball cap. I had a big head, a real skinny body, and big feet. I looked like a miniature Bozo the Clown without the hair. This is really cool. They cut me. Well, I get in the car. I do what all 9-year-old boys do when they get cut. I'm over there sniffling and bawling. And I looked at my dad and I said, "Can you believe they cut me, Daddy?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Why did they cut me?" He said, "You're no good." Now, hold on.
Sound like my dad.
My father loved me. Because, you see, love does not delight in a lie. It delights in the truth. And it protects. Now, hold on. He didn't stop there, okay? He went on and said, "We got to learn to catch, and we got to learn to hit, and we got to learn to run so you can make the, Brittany, make the team." Next year, I made the team. Because he got with me and taught me to catch and taught me to hit and taught me to run. Thanks, Dad. He loved me enough to protect me, to put me in the position where I would be functional. Let me tell you about love. It makes us functional. It makes who we are better than we could ever be. Now, Jonathan and David have got a relationship of love. They are friends. David's got a problem. He works for his daddy. This is a mess. This is a soap opera. I got to go through it real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 20. We get in a dilemma. Saul, King Saul, wants to kill David that works for him. Y'all got that? King Saul is amazingly mad. Let me tell you a little bit about King Saul. Does anybody know how King Saul got appointed king? His qualifications. You got it, sir. What'd you say? That's exactly correct. He was taller and looked good. Guess what his qualifications were? Nothing. Now, I know we've never seen any leadership that had no qualifications be appointed into high places. Like coaches that didn't know what they were doing. Or teachers that didn't know how to teach. At least in medical school, they find those folks pretty quick. If not, a lawyer will find them quicker than that when they start practicing. Yeah, sometimes people get in high places because guess what? You know why Israel even had a king? God got tired of hearing them whine. And so guess what he finally said, Amber? "I'm going to give you what you want." Well, Sheriff, they elected this boy, old Saul, there he was. You know, tall people are good for basketball, but not necessarily for kingship. And Saul's a maniac. He gets intoxicated by his position, and he's nervous because there's a little shepherd boy that was out in the fields one day, and the prophet came and anointed this little shepherd boy. He was a ruddy. The scripture says he was ruddy. Nathan, he was ruddy. A ruddy old boy, probably a little old red-headed, freckled, you know, Jewish boy out there in the field. But apparently he's pretty strong because, remember, he whipped a giant with a slingshot wearing a jock strap. So the boy doesn't lack fortitude, all right? He believes God can do anything, and guess what he does? He has oil poured over his head when he's about 8 years old, and he's anointed to be the next king of Israel. Well, that makes Saul what? Mad. So Saul says, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to be bigger than God." Now, church, let me help you what? I really want you to understand this, because, guys, this is where we live today. We are not bigger than God. And we will never be. We will never be technologically more sophisticated than the Almighty. We will never be medically more advanced than the healer of all times. We will never create eternity on our own merit, and we will never reach heaven by building our own tower. We tried that in Genesis, and we all started speaking so confusingly that nobody could understand anybody. God is a God of love and order and protection. Now, Jonathan is Saul's son, and David is the anointed one. And the story takes place. David was hiding. Jonathan comes up to David. He says, "What are you hiding for?" And then Jonathan hears this horrible information. David tells him, "Your daddy, Saul, the king, wants to kill me." He says, "There's no way." Jonathan said, "He tells me everything. He tells me everything. Never would that happen. Never would that happen." And then they have to devise a plan. David makes sure that Jonathan and him are lined up, and they draw a covenant of love. A covenant of what? Love. Now, love always what? Protects. That means this. The love of God is going to bring us where we're supposed to be, no matter what we encounter in life. That ought to bring a little smile on your face, especially if you've had a bad week. Yeah, okay, that's over. Now the love of God is going to carry you to where you need to be. Let the love of God do what, Joseph? Speak and lead and protect. You have to protect as a husband, don't you? I mean, if somebody came after your wife, you're going to go kung fu fighting, aren't you? Yeah, me too. Somebody comes after my wife, I'm going what? Protect. Somebody comes, well, I don't have to worry about my son anymore. My son, I say, go get him. Somebody comes after my daughter. So I've already told my daughter, I said, listen, you marry some boy, and if he ever lays a hand on you, I'll be in the paper. Pastor beats son-in-law beyond recognition in Warren County Jail. Well, Sheriff, that'd probably happen. Sheriff comes up and says, I got to arrest you, Reverend. I know, Sheriff, but I'm going to tell you what, that boy, I'll tell you what. Bring him back over here. I'll give him some more. There's something that's going to, but hold on. I'd be wrong in doing that because that's the way God does it, is it? God positions us to help people change. And only he can change us. Isn't that, huh? But he protects. Who did God anoint king? David. Now, I want you all to begin to see this because we don't think this is the way life works, but life works. Hear me. Guess what? Guess what? The present leadership and what's going on right now in America is exactly like God wants it to be. Why? Well, we always think that we are smarter than God. So guess what he's letting us do? Be smarter than him. How are we doing? The only leader, this is going to blow y'all away, blows my mind. The only leader, political leader, ever in history to prosper all the people is guess who? And don't tell me Bill Clinton. King David. I encourage you to read 1 Kings and 2 Kings. King David is the only political leader where this was said about him. Under the reign of King David in Israel, all the people prospered. David had this weird theory. He believed if everybody did something, then everybody ought to prosper from that something. He understood who? The heart of who, John? Of God. No, but he understood the heart of God. Now, here's how we've been trying to run our lives. By the heart of what? Humanity. And guess what? I don't argue with people and I don't get mad with people. Watch this. I don't know why we yell and scream at people. I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. But guess what? All these people that have turned away from God's statues one day are going to look in the eyes of the God that created them and made them and spoke to them, and I bet their baloney's not going to work real well in the eyes of God. I bet Bill Maher doesn't have a whole lot to say when Jesus shows up. He'll probably look at him and say, William, here I am, your great myth. What do you got to say now? He says, welcome to real Jesus. The one that you spoke about, mocked, rebuked, chastised, influenced. How you think that's probably going to go when you're talking to the Almighty God? I go, Pastor Steve, that kind of, yeah, that's an old concept. It's called the fear of God. You all know I occasionally like to ride a motorcycle. Now, Mr. Gibson, when I get on that motorcycle, I got a healthy fear because guess what I know? It's fun to ride, but guess what else will it do? It can run through fences, ditches, and pull out in front of people. And I'm fully aware now at this age, if somebody hits me while I'm on it, there is most likely that's not going to be a positive situation in life. Now, when I was young, I used to run down the road on the back wheel with my head turned this way, making sure the ladies were seeing how cool I was. I wouldn't do that for love and money now because guess what I know? I know it can go all the way back on you and then I'm going to hurt for a long time. What has changed? The brittle bones and the truth will set you free. I know truth now. I was oblivious to reality in my youth. Now I know truth, and truth brings in a better life. Jonathan knows the truth. He knows that David has been appointed to be king. And then he has to find out that his father wants to kill him. And Jonathan even says this to David. He said, surely not, David. My father tells me everything. And if you were going to be, you're not going to die. Because he says this, look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without confining me. Why would he hide this from me? It is not so, but it was so. So they had to come up with this idea. David and Jonathan make covenant between each other. Note this, they make a what? A covenant, an oath, a love, a very appropriate love, a covenant love. And I want to show you something about love. If you truly love somebody, you'll never back away from God in them. And this is just my suggestion. We spend way too much time trying to please each other in very little effort on pleasing God. And if you're going to please God, sometimes it's a tough situation. I mean, this just fries us as Americans. So we go to verse 30 of chapter 20. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, you're the son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Now, what did he just call him? Yeah. His own son. His own flesh and blood. This is how crazy this guy was. He said, you're the son of a perverse and what? Rebellious woman. Verse 30. Don't you know? Listen to old Saul. Don't you know that I know that you've sided with the son of Jesse? Oh, hold on a second. How many of y'all are going to love enough to side with the son of Jesse? If you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess who you've sided with? The son of Jesse. Because it's from the line of Jesse that we get David. Isn't that right, Don? And it is from the house of David who is born. Anybody know what the house of David's called? Anybody know the town? The house of bread. Anybody know what the town of the house of bread is named? Bethlehem. Sound familiar? Jesus. Dan Cathy opened up a chicken store, but Jesus opened up a fish shop right off the bat, remember? Fish sandwiches for everybody, 5,000 fed. And right after he had the big fish miracle, fish sandwich miracle, what did he tell everybody? I am the bread. Son of Jesse. Now check this out. Lanning, here's a guy that's going to stand strong in an ancient time that affects this present future. Here's what I'm telling you, man. If you'll love and you'll allow that love to protect, it will always protect what God has said. Now watch this. I talked to a very wonderful human being on the flight down there. If I'd have started political vibrations, would we have had a wonderful conversation? We just had a fight. Did God call me to fight people? Did he call me to save people? No. He called me to tell people how they can be saved. Now hold on, you got to be clear on it. I can't save nobody. If I could have saved somebody, I'd save me. I can't save me. I can't save Elizabeth. I can't save Blake. I can't save Tracy. How many of y'all have noticed your children don't listen to you? And here's why. That helps us understand how many of us don't listen to God sometimes. But Jonathan's going to listen to God. He's got a plan for David. He told David to go to the rock at Elah. He told him, he said, well, you go to that rock and you hide behind that rock, and I'm going to see what my daddy's going to do. And if I come out there, I'm going to shoot my bow and arrow. And if I shoot it next to the rock, I'll say, it is next to the rock. And you'll know everything is safe and you can come home, David. But let me tell you what. If I shoot it and I go, the arrow is beyond the rock, you run and get out of there because he's going to kill you. Now, here's the thing about the king. When the king wants to kill you, what can they do? They can kill you. That's the thing about governments. Governments can mess your earthly life up, but they cannot take your life. See, the United States, guess what? They can tax the dickens out of me, but they can't take the sin out of me. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus stands beyond all authorities. He's the King of Kings. And so he gets his boy, and Saul becomes so enraged. I want you to show you what this daddy was willing to do. I want you to see what happens when people get full of themselves. You son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Boy, nothing's changed, has it, Nathan? Anytime your children are messed up, who do you blame it on? It's the mama's fault. I've said that before. I've looked and I said, this boy of yours need to dry it up. Then I look at Elizabeth. I said, I tell you why he's acting like that. Because you won't put your daggum foot down. Then I look at Clancy and I said, that's all your fault. 100% you. Not, especially Clancy. Guess who she acts like? Me with a wig. Am I going to stand in a loving covenant with the Church of Jesus Christ? Am I going to stand with God even when nobody else will stand with me? Jonathan knew how to love David. His daddy tries to kill Jonathan. He said, don't you know I know that you've sided with the son of Jesse? To your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you. That's mad. That's mad. I mean, when you start talking about a boy's mama, you are mad. But when you're the king, you can talk about anybody's mama. You know what he does? He hurls a spear, his spear, at Jonathan. Now, I want you to see something here. Y'all remember this proverb, no weapon formed against me can what? Prosper. Now, check this out. Now, send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. Why should he be put to death? What has he done? Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. That would be a pretty good clue. You know, you're kind of sitting at the dinner table and you ask, hey, Dad, what has David done? Here comes the king's spear, and you go, I believe my daddy's trying to kill me. If he wants to kill me, then he wants to kill who? David. Now, I want to show you something. David was protected by God through Jonathan. How many of y'all got somebody that loves you so much in the power of God, they got your back? I see very few relationships like this in the United States of America. In the culture I live in, you don't even have to throw a spear. You just got to rattle it and people will shake down. Yeah? I'm very fortunate. I got a few friends that are staying with me. And Don, if you're going to hang around me, guess what's guaranteed? Bullets. I tell people that when they start hanging around. I say, you hang around with me, man, I'm a controversial figure. People don't like me. I say things like this. Only people who believe in Jesus are enter into the kingdom of heaven. John 14:6, I believe Jesus is the only way, the truth, and life. And brother, I say that, man. I say that, and people go, what? They go, you're a bigot. You're a racist. You're wrong. My grandmother never knew Jesus, and she was a wonderful person. She baked pies. And she went and visited sick people. And, because here's the problem, bro. Here's the problem, my friend. There's no passage of scripture that says, blessed are those who have done three nice things. They shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And if I read that, guess what? If I read that, I tell y'all, it's not in there. It says, we've all sinned and missed the glory of God. It doesn't say some, it says all. It doesn't say we're nice. In fact, it says we're gnarly. Well, it doesn't say gnarly. I'm interpreting that for you. We're sinful. What's Saul? He's a maniac. Dr. Ward, if we had to diagnose the mind of Saul with our modern psychiatric reason, I'm following Dr. Ward, he has these gifts and skills, could possibly lowballing him a manic depressive, highballing him bipolar. I think he might be bipolar. You throw a spear at your son, you a messed up dude. You gonna kill your own son? Now let me show you why he's gonna kill him. Let me show you why he's gonna kill him, and I gotta get out of here. Love does not demand its own what? Lenny?
Its own.
You're close. Way, that's exactly right. Love does not demand its own way. Don, whose way does it demand? Jesus, God. Whose way is getting through this situation? Who did God anoint as king? David. Jonathan's feeling God in David. He said, I'm going to love him beyond my father. Now, I'm going to tell you what, it wouldn't be hard for me to not love my father if he hurled a spear by my head. But even Jonathan won't touch his daddy. He's the king. There's still a respect. Jonathan didn't pick up his spear and hurl it back at him. That's what he did. He protected the one he loved, David, the line of Jesse. Look, Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. I imagine so. If my dad thrown a spear at my head, I'd be a little ticked myself. How many of y'all be a little ticked? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine your daddy throwing a spear at your head? Can you duck pretty good? Now, Jonathan was agile. He was a good warrior. He missed the spear. Jonathan wasn't a good throw. Saul, you know, he's crazy. How many of y'all have ever seen a crazy guy throw something? How many of y'all have ever gotten in a fight with a drunk, crazy person? Oh, they're a blast. Come on, come on. Boom! Come on, come on. They just swing wildly. Why? Why? Because it's just anger. It's just rage. I got to be heard and seen. Oh, I've seen many a guy hit the floor by somebody that was sober. He let him throw his fit and he just goes, bip. Especially when you hit somebody in the nose, plop. How many of you all swing aimlessly at love instead of saying, God, put me in your divine purpose? And even when I get a spear by my head, I would rather have a spear by my head than the ways of this world. Love protects. It protects children, adults, and believers. God's going to win. I hope you see that today. And in this whole month of August, I'm going to show you that love is more than a Hallmark card. Love is the way of forever. It's pretty cool, isn't it? And love lines God out in us. Some of you, Wayne, you and I ain't friends. We're not. It goes beyond that. We're brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means if the world throws spears, I get to say this. All right, you coming after me, but you got to take on my brother. He shoots real well. You got to take on my brother, Lanny. He plots real well. You got to take on my brothers and my sister. I'm going to get you women in there too. And listen, that's our first line of defense because we're trying to be easy on you. Because when we release these women, they're going to hurt you. But I'm in a covenant relationship. I know the church, it kind of sounds cheesy. You just call your brothers, sister, so-and-so. I don't want us to call each other brother and sister because I think it sounds cheesy. But I want us to live with each other as brother and sister. I never call my brother, Brother Mark. I just call him Mark. But I knew he was my brother. Wayne, I've never called you Brother Wayne, have I? Unless I was joking around or something. I call him Wayne, but I know he's my brother in Christ. My brother in Christ. Nathan, you're what? My brother. You're my little brother that became a bigger brother. Now you're my older brother. Remember, you used to be a kid brother. Now you're an adult brother. Now I expect more out of what? I expect Jesus out of you. What do you expect out of me? Jesus out of me. If you don't mind, if you just look at your neighbor and just kind of go like this, I expect Jesus out of you. Go ahead and tell your lovely wife that. Come on, pass it down the line. I want you all to get this. I expect Jesus out of you, Mark. I expect Jesus out of you. In your marriage, what should you respect out of each other? Expect Jesus. Now, look, y'all are smiling just thinking about that right there because you know he's going to clean the house now. Watch this. See what I'm saying? If we expect Jesus out of each other, come on. I want you to see that this works. I got to preach this minute. I'm tired of going to Bible studies and singings and church and preaching where nothing changes. Because that's not the church of Jesus. You get around Jesus, you get around God. They throw a spear, and God has a plan. He puts his plan in Jonathan. Jonathan now is convinced that his daddy's going to kill David. He goes out to Rock. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. Let me tell you what love does. It does exactly what it says it's going to do. I tell you, somebody loves me. She's a sweet lady. Elizabeth Ayers. Scares me she loves me. Because get what? She's been through the thick, the thin, and the indifferent, and she's seen more than one spear. And I've even asked her something. I said, how do you stay in this? She said, let me help you. I love Jesus a lot more than you, honey. And I went, whoa, that's heavy. Every once in a while, she doesn't give me like a lot of words because I can't handle a bunch of them. She gives me little phrases. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I love Jesus a lot more than you. Because if I didn't love Jesus a lot more than you, I sure couldn't stay with you. So being the man I am, I looked at her and I said, back at you. Then in reality, it's true. I love Jesus more than her, which allows me to love her even that much more. Hold on, I want to show you how this works. You see, when you really get into the love of Jesus, then you get into a permanent love that is binding. The reason I can keep my marriage vows is for this reason. Jesus loves me, period. The reason I don't have to do stupid stuff that I used to do previously in my life that was not a good decision is because Jesus loves me in a covenant that he shed blood over. And he does exactly what he says he's going to do. This is so cool. Jonathan cries out to David. He goes to the rock at Elah. He does exactly what he's supposed to do. In the morning, Jonathan went out to the field for his meeting with David. He had a small boy with him. He said to the boy, run and find the arrows I shoot. As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. Now, that's a brave little boy. I'm going to tell Blake that the next time we go shooting. Blake, run out there, and I'm going to shoot an arrow, and if it goes beyond you, everything's going to be all right. He goes, where else can it go? On you. But now, once again, let me preface this. Jonathan, did I tell y'all, he is an exceptional warrior. That's his description. He's a warrior. Jonathan's a soldier. And the arrow goes beyond him. When the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called out after him, isn't the arrow beyond you? Then he shouted, hurry, go quickly, don't stop. The boy picked up the arrow and returned it to his master. The boy knew nothing about this. Only Jonathan and David knew. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said, go carry them back to town. After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed before Jonathan three times. Does that hit y'all funny? Three times. You know why there's a First Testament? Remember we studied Colossians? To foreshadow the things of the Testament Jesus. Three times, 3 days. You know what Jonathan just did? Kept in motion through Jonathan. Loving God more than his father. Keeping a covenant relationship with David. He just sent the line of David in motion. David. Three times in a bow. We are brothers. Does that not blow you away? The love that David and Jonathan had through the power of God, was stronger than a bloodline. Saul wanted David killed so Jonathan could be king. Jonathan loved God so much, he knew God wanted David to be king. And when he bowed three times, you know what I think he was bowing to? This is just air speculation and interpretation with educated understanding. Jonathan, we both bow to the King of Kings. You have fulfilled your role, and now I must and go fulfill mine. And under the days of David, all the people prospered because Jonathan protected David. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, who knows who you have here today that will change and affect the future, but you have them here today to change and perfect the future. So Lord, today, tonight, in the morning, as we rise and as we live, I pray, God, now that you will draw people to grace and that you will protect them from now into forever. Amen and amen. If you'll stand with me, we have a decision to make. Does this help you on love? A little different, isn't it? A little deeper? Your mom and dad love you, but guess who even loves you more than that? God does. Isn't that amazing? God does. Your mom and dad love you, but not as much as God does. Some of you today, listen, young people, listen to me. It's a great day to say, Lord Jesus, I understand you have saved me, forgiven me, loved me, died on a cross for me, risen from the grave, and you alone, Jesus, will save me from what I am,
true,
a sinner, to make me to what you want me to be, a child of God. And that's why people get so confused about salvation. You know, Pastor Steve, I'm not good enough to be saved. I said, no, now you get it. You get it. You're right. You're not good enough to be saved. Now let's look at the glory of God. God wants to save you. You know, well, I still do some stuff. I said, I tell you what, why don't you let Jesus change you and let's see what you do after that. So today, in the name of Jesus, may you come to this altar and may you say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I repent of my sins. I know it is you and you alone that will save me. So come, Lord. I know you're saving me. And I confess with my mouth that you are saving me. And I believe in my heart that you are the one. You do those things, guess what? You're going to change. Don, what's going to happen to you? You're going to change. Have I changed since you knew me in high school? Who did that? Jesus. My mama couldn't do it. My daddy couldn't do it. Elizabeth couldn't do it. My children didn't change me. They ticked me off half the time. Only Jesus. So some of you today, Lord Jesus, be loved like you've never been loved. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Some of you today, guess what? Here's what I'm going to pray for today. I want you all, some of you just come do a touch and go, all right? Lord, bless our schools. And today we talked about protection. One of the things our children need, I got a lot of school teachers in here. I want protection on you all. But guess what? A lot of us need to pray that our kids be protected from things that will not bless them. And I'm not talking about just drugs and alcohol. I'm talking about ideas that come from human understanding and not the truth of God. So we got to get the truth of God out there to them, okay? And let them embrace that. Cool deal? It works. It works. Keep them there. Amen. You got it, brother? Covenant wins. Amen? All right, let's come. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. God's blessing. He's drawing. He's delivering. He's healing. You can stand there and stay away, or you could come forward and be blessed, or you can sit in your seat and say, Lord, I get it. If you need to be baptized, come, because guess what? God wants you to do that because he told you to do that. Listen, here's what I know. If you'll follow, you'll understand. And you got to just let him save you. Amen. You can't save yourself. Let him save you. Come on, church. Y'all been more than beautiful. Thank you for coming forward. Let God just speak into your life. Let him speak into your life. Amen. Amen.